Welcome to What the Fit, a podcast about what it means to be fit, whatever the fuck that means. I'm your host, Christelle Rubio, and I'm helping to share the stories of cool people doing cool shit, from fitness trainers to wellness coaches, entrepreneurs, and entertainers. We'll hear the behind-the-scenes journey, all the different ways we can take care of ourselves, and of course, we'll answer and explore the big question of, what does being fit mean to you? My guest today is an energetic, intuitive coach and consultant, an expert teacher and a certified breathwork practitioner, an author and human design expert. As a doctorally prepared nurse practitioner and academic, she loves being able to blend her scientific knowledge with spiritual studies. Please welcome Dr. Nicole Garitano.
Hi, Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm bursting with excitement.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be so fun. I'm so excited to talk about human design. I was telling you before we started, you know, Sarah, my good friend Sarah, owns Finley Movement, was also just, you know, very intrigued by this too. She knew nothing about it. She did her own research. She's like, I could come on and talk about what I know. So we released a podcast episode. I think it was maybe like mid last year, mid 2023. And we kind of put a plea out to everyone. Like, does anyone know someone that actually knows about human design? Because we, you know, we had fun and we introduced it and we, you know, talked a little bit about the energy types. We talked a little bit about history, but, you know, that was pretty much as far as we could go. We took a look at charts and we're like, yeah, right. What's going on here? Yeah. So I'm so excited to have you, someone that really knows what's going on. And it seems like not just human design.
Yes.
A lot of stuff. So I'm excited to hear your story. Mm-hmm. So how did you, professor, healthcare worker, breathwork, like how did you get from there to here? What's the transition in between?
Well, the short version is it's all in my design.
Yeah. Amazing.
And I do kind of say that tongue in cheek, but it actually is. All of these career moves, all the things I've learned, they are actually built into my design. But I will say I was like the serial student. I needed all the degrees. Uh-huh. Once I'd learn a little bit about something, I needed to go all in and learn all of it. And I also was someone that when I was disenchanted with one role, I kind of felt like, why is this the end all be all? Right? Like we have this life to live. We should be able to go out and learn all the things
Sure.
and make the impact that we want to make. And so for me, the short of that journey is that, you know, I have a bachelor's degree in speech communications mm-hmm. and with a minor in marketing and PR. I did that for several years.
That's very similar to mine.
Okay. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. So I did that at Miami.
I went to Miami as well.
You did. Well, I'm sure I was there way before you, but I did that. And you know what happened was I got out in the workforce and I was constantly disenchanted. Mm. Like I just felt like I was supposed to be helping people, but I didn't know exactly where that came from. Both my parents were teachers, so I did grow up in this environment of them helping, you know, other people.
Yeah.
And then in my early 20s, I was diagnosed with melanoma skin cancer.
Oh.
And yeah.
Damn.
And so talk about like when you're young and you kind of feel like you're invincible and you're like, oh shit.
It's like stop you in your tracks.
Yes. Like maybe I'm not gonna live forever. Maybe I'm never gonna get married or have a family or those are the things that go through your head. And luckily for me, they caught mine very early. So they were able to remove the skin cancer. It hadn't spread anywhere. So
yeah.
I don't have one of those stories where I was very ill and went mm-hmm. through a lot of treatment. So I always wanna be really clear about that. But it's still one of those hard stop points for
yeah.
you in life where it makes you question everything.
Oh yeah.
And when I had the surgery, my surgical oncologist, if you were young and in good health, he didn't want to put you under. He just wanted to use local.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'm glad that that's what he
yes,
wanted to do.
Yes, that's what he wanted to do. So what really was transformative to me in that experience is that I had a nurse at the head of the bed in the operating room with me, and she kept me calm. She talked me through everything. And like in that instant, I was like, wow, when I'm well, I think I really want to become a nurse. This would be the thing that would really help
people. And really made an impression on you. It helped you so much that you said, I need to give that to someone else.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
Exactly. So I did just that. I figured out a way to go back to school and become a nurse. And, you know, from there, I...
So you already had a bachelor's degree in a non-related medical field in communications.
Yes.
And so you're like, I'm going to go back.
And become a nurse.
Yes.
That
okay.
sounds good.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then went into pediatrics, worked in the NICU, had a lot of really intuitive experiences in that environment, although it wasn't completely clear to me at that point in time. Eventually went back, became a nurse practitioner. Went back to get my doctoral degree. When I was doing that, I got recruited over by the university to go and then to academia. So I bring these things up because I'm a projector in human design and we need invitations. And so when I look at this flow, everywhere there was an invitation that I could accept within my former career, things went really smoothly. Oh. Wherever I forced anything through my own will and there wasn't an invitation, it never went quite as well as it should have. But it is actually written in my design that I am meant to have all these different life experiences to then master my craft, to hone in on the thing it is I really want to teach other people. And so with the age I am now, that's where I'm moving into within my design. And so beyond academia, I was still in academia. I had a herniated disc in my neck with no known injury. And that's what really prompted me to want to become a coach and really help other women. Because I knew there were other women out there that were high achievers, never can say no, taking on all the things at work and home. You know, and at that point when I had that injury, I was running two programs at the university. We had adopted our daughter. I didn't take any leave during that time. So it was the perfect storm.
So it was like stress.
Yes.
Tension, probably.
Yes. And manifested then in the physical form within my body. And so... Again, once I got through the herniated disc, I pursued a coaching certification and really started my business as a side business because it fueled my soul, you know, while I was doing all the other things. It wasn't until COVID hit that I decided it was time to step away and really pursue the business full time.
Wow. And so how did you come upon human design?
Yeah. So in my journeys, my entrepreneurial journeys, I was part of a mastermind. And it was just a group, you know, that met online. And this was when everything was kind of like just my passion project side hustle. And so I got on this call with all these really brilliant women that I really liked. I'd known them from some other groups. And they were all talking about human design. And I was like...
What year was this?
This would have been 7 years ago.
Okay.
Around there. Okay. Yeah. Six or seven years ago. So I get on there and they're all talking about it. And I'm like, what is human design? That's what I'm thinking in my head. What in the heck is human design? Yeah. But, you know, type A overachiever. I didn't want to act like I didn't know what the heck human design was. So I just like nodded on the Zoom and smiled a lot.
You're like Googling the background.
Yeah. Like, and then I got off the call and I looked it up and I was like, oh, wow, this is kind of interesting because I'd always dabbled, you know, in all these other pieces like intuition and, you know, signs and symbols.
Okay.
And I'd always dabbled. And then.
So you have this like very kind of like strict academic career, but also there's this a little bit, I like to call it a little woo woo.
Yes.
You got a little woo woo. Okay.
A little woo in the mix. And that really, part of that was from my upbringing. I grew up in a family where my mom was always very spiritually curious, you know, my aunts, my grandma.
Yeah. Witchy, a little witchy.
Yes. Love it. So just, you know, fun conversation, always delving into some things. But anyway, I did. I Googled human design and I was like, this is so fascinating because there's elements of quantum physics, which is very scientific. And then there's all these other like spiritual aspects, but rooted in ancient tradition. So there's like some history and some culture behind it. And I was like, I have got to learn more about this because it really felt like it was blending my two worlds for once. And my purpose in human design, once I dug into it, is to actually do that, to show that science and spirituality can coexist.
Wow. So when did human design come to be? Because it's kind of, it's fairly modern, if we will, right?
It is. So it came to be in the 1980s, all right, by, his name is Ra, Okay. But that was his name. He renamed himself. So he received this as a divine download.
Sweet.
Yes.
Love that.
So for some people, they just hear that and they're like, I don't know. I can't get behind this human design stuff.
Okay, Catholic. What about Moses receiving the Ten Commandments?
Right. But see, I was raised Catholic, so.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. I was raised Catholic.
So we know.
But
so
like divine, like the only divine interventions that happened so long ago, there can be no new divine intervention.
Exactly.
That doesn't sound like a very spiritual faith-based approach.
No, it doesn't. But sometimes that's just where people are at, right? Because they're so in their logical, and it takes that little leap of faith, you know, to get them to come on board.
Take a leap of faith.
It does.
You know, you either got it or you don't.
Yes. And really in the world of human design, there's always politics, right, in every industry.
Yes.
So if you study with enough people, if you read enough of the books, if you're on enough of the blogs or behind the scenes with some of the human design experts, you will learn that some of them had a good relationship with this man. He has since passed away.
Uh-huh.
Some of them didn't. Some of them believed as his teachings went on that maybe it became more convoluted or maybe directed in a certain way that would have been more advantageous for him. I don't have a huge opinion on that because for me, what I've always done with human design is I've just used it as a tool to continue to guide my intuition, the way I work with clients, because at the root of it, if you're really just looking at it, it gives you your natural energetic blueprint.
Yeah.
And we're all wanting to understand ourselves better, to master our energy, to figure out how we can achieve the thing, right?
Yeah.
Manifest the next great,
yes,
you know, thing into our lives or the person, the event, you know, the job, whatever it is.
We are just wanting and yearning over and over and over again.
We are.
Until the end of time, it's never enough.
Yeah, it's never over. It's never over. We're just constantly on a quest.
Yes.
Right? And so what I have found that's spoken to me with human design, the educator in me is like, here's something on paper that I can sit down with a client with and say, hey, this is your natural energy.
Mm-hmm.
How are you using it right now? Let's talk about how you're using your energy. Are you using it effectively? Are you using it in alignment? Where have you gotten out of alignment? Where have you gotten off course? And because our human mind loves evidence, right? That's the scientific piece.
Mm-hmm.
There's something tangible then they can look at and they feel so seen and they feel so validated that, oh my gosh, this has always been me.
Yeah.
And people have told me it's not me. And I want to be me again.
Wow. Yeah. So how do we explain if someone's listening here and they're like, what is human design? Like what is it?
Yes.
How do you describe it?
So I always say it's a synthesis of these different pseudosciences or different modalities, ancient wisdom teachings, whatever resonates for people.
Uh-huh.
But it's based in the Chinese I Ching,
yes,
the Kabbalah.
And that's like energy, right?
Yeah, so it's the hexagrams within the Chinese tradition. And those hexagrams with human design really equate to our genetic makeup.
Okay.
Okay, like the way we're designed in more of that physical sense.
Okay.
It also had a lot to do, and the Chinese I Ching has a lot to do with predicting your forecasted life path.
Oh, okay.
So there's elements of the I Ching in there.
Got
and
it.
Then the Kabbalah or Tree of Life is more associated with the numbers or gates inside a body graph. So anyone listening that's actually maybe looked at their body graph, it's those little numbers. But if you've never looked at your body graph and you go and look it up, just know when you're looking at it, those little numbers are called gates. And then it's also rooted in our astrology system that we're all very, you know what I mean, familiar with.
Yep.
And so you'll see the planetary placements within your body graph as well. And then the chakra energy centers, which makes sense on the body graph because there's little shapes on there that are also called energy centers. And then there's these elements. There's the element of quantum physics, which is really rooted, I won't get too sciencey here, but it's rooted in what we would call a neutrino. Think of that as like a very small particle or atom. And neutrinos make up the stars, different elements of the universe, and they also make up our being. So that whole concept of we're made from the stars, we're part of the stars, it comes from this idea of we all have neutrinos within our beingness.
Okay. And you know, it sounds like you're painting a full picture then of, I don't even want to say like a person, like a soul perhaps.
Yes.
And how it's like best orienting and navigating through this particular lifetime, that's in front of it right now. Because you have like all of these, it's almost like a different like menu of items that you're like, okay, this does a good job of explaining this thing, astrology, cool. but we're missing maybe this other piece here. Okay, well, Kabbalah comes in, and like, you know what I mean? It's like they, everyone's working together.
Yes. Well, what I like to think about, and I definitely believe that our body graph shows a soul influence and our humanness influence. I'll explain. That's more my interpretation, the way I like to use it. But what I will say is that with those different modalities, what I believe to be true, like this is my spiritual belief, is that God, source, higher power, whatever people choose to believe in, that entity, whether he, she, they, you know, it, that entity will find a way to speak to each of us. And so is it really that far out there that these different ancient wisdoms would all merge together
exactly
in this way to give us a better understanding of who we are, soul and human, and why we're here?
Yeah.
And what we're meant to do beyond this lifetime as
I was thinking about this when I was, we call it a body graph, or we call it a chart,
a body graph.
See, that's great. I had no idea. I just went on the internet and did my body graph and thought it would be good for us to kind of take a look and just, it'd be helpful to explain. But as I was looking at some things and not really knowing how to read, but I was looking up, the big thing was like, what's an incarnation cross, which we'll talk about. And I copy and pasted my incarnation cross into Google. And I was like, kind of, you know, reading about this thing. Mm-hmm. And I have done Enneagram, I've done Myers-Briggs, I've done Gallup Strengths, I've done
all of
it. I've had my chart read, I've had my Akashic Records read. I am in it, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's just really interesting, or like, again, and especially from something where it's just generated from like my birth date and that type of thing, that there's really just like this thread of commonality through every single different modality that is like me, you know, that it's like, okay, like this common thing, like how do they know this is not AI yet? Right. Like, and so that for me, I was just kind of like this, that's what, how it resonates with me, where I'm like, something's gotta be going on here because I'm just getting so much consistent messaging.
Mm-hmm.
And how would they, in quotations, they all know about me in that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I thought that was cool and like just kind of a fun way to introduce, to start to talk about this. But so do we cover all of the different kind of components of human design?
Yes, in terms of the modalities and those pieces. I usually say, because I know probably where we're about to go next with our conversation. Uh-huh. So if you haven't seen your body graph, now would be a great time to pause.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hit pause great. As you're listening to us. Go Google human design body graph. You can use any website that's out there.
Yep.
Grab your body graph.
Yep.
And then come back.
Yes.
Because what we were probably about to go into and talk about is going to make so much more sense if you can refer to your own body graph.
Yep. Perfect. So I was thinking about the energy pieces, right? The energy types, and really like, what is this energy that we're talking about? Like, what is that?
Well, think about just the way we feel energy all around us.
Yes. Which we know to be true. Everyone on here listening on here knows you feel an energy about a person.
Yes.
You feel an energy about a space. Mm-hmm. You feel an energy about a situation. You feel an energy when you listen to a song.
Yes.
Like
when you get a notification on your phone, that's a great way to tune into energy, because we get notifications on our phones all day, and some really light us up and some drain us and some make us not want to look.
We are in a state of flux.
Yes. All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
But you really think about our phones. You could have a news thing popping up. You could have a social media, you know, notification popping up. It could be an email. It could be a text.
Yeah.
All of those. You feel the energy of them before you even open.
You can look at someone across a room and not have any idea who they are. Mm-hmm. And you feel an energy exchange.
Yes. Happening. Exactly. So that's what we really think of energy. Now, if you do have your body graph in front of you, the energy centers are those shapes, okay, the bigger shapes. They can be triangles, they can be squares, the diamond shape inside the body graph. We call those the energy centers. So the best way to explain that, I always use this analogy. So I say it over and over again. But if we think of our energy centers as like a light bulb, mm-hmm. okay, when they're colored in, mm-hmm. they're called defined in mm-hmm. human design. That means there's a set way energy moves through them. So just like if we turn a switch on and the light comes on, there's a set way, right? It's consistent. Mm-hmm. It's going to light up the room.
Yep.
Okay. So you have consistent energy in those energy centers on your body graph.
Okay.
Wherever they're white or mm-hmm. open on your body graph, those are, think of them as the light bulb with the loose filament. You flip the switch, maybe they flicker on and off. Maybe it goes out for a minute. Maybe it comes back on, mm-hmm. right? But you're like, ooh, something's off.
Okay.
And it's not that anything's off with our energy, but it's not consistent. There's not a consistent source of energy in those open centers, meaning we're like giant sponges in those centers. So you're absorbing, like you said, you look across the room, you uh-huh. see someone. In those open centers, you're absorbing all the energy from your environment, from other people, from what you're consuming on television or books you're reading, right? Or anything, mm-hmm. like I said, on your phone. You're absorbing energy like a sponge. And then what you do is you amplify that energy and you reflect it back out to the world. Okay. Those are in all your open energy centers. So I know we were looking at your body
graph.
Yeah.
Can we give an example?
Yeah.
So we.
Yeah. Before we jumped on, we were looking at yours. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, out of all the energy centers, there's a good balance here. You have four of them open. And then you have five of them defined. So that would be like a nice balance when I'm looking overall at your energy. But for instance, at the very top, we have like the triangle and then the inverted triangle.
Yes.
The one on the top, that's the normal triangular shape that we're used to seeing. That is your head energy center. The one right below it is called the Ajna. Now, I think of these, they're both operating within the mind. Mm-hmm. Okay. But that upper one, your head, think of that as creativity, inspiration, imagination. Mm-hmm. The one below it, the Ajna, think of that as logic.
So like kind of like right brain, left brain.
Figures.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. And so for you, both of them are open. They're not colored in mm-hmm. on the body graph, meaning when I see that, I'm like, ooh, this is someone whose mind is like a creative playground. There are tons of ideas constantly being formulated. Mm-hmm. There's a pressure to share them with the world. There's also a frustration of not knowing which one to share next. There's also on and off probably frustration around how do I even organize these so it makes sense to other people because they all need to be out there and I need the right people to hear them mm-hmm. at the right time. And then there's also that sense of I only need a little bit of research to move forward with what I want to do. And there's also a level of like fearlessness around who's going to question it because you don't care. Yes. Like with this kind of setup, you just don't care. You want to get the ideas out into the world.
Yeah.
Now, some downsides are you could be, if you don't have a way to get rid of all the ideas, mm-hmm. like brain dump them into a journal.
No, I have two podcasts.
Okay, good. So you have a way that you're basically getting them out, right?
I release two podcast episodes a week. So,
that helps you get the ideas out, which is beautiful. Because you do need to brain dump.
Yeah.
You do need to brain dump or you're going to be in mental overwhelm.
Yeah.
And sometimes,
I do feel that way.
Yeah. Sometimes people will feel like, you know, I shouldn't. It's almost like judgment comes in then. Like, oh, I have all these ideas. They're really good. But then I'm judging myself on some level because I can't get them out. So it's good that you have an outlet for them.
Yeah.
I will say, though, since you have the podcast, right below the head and Ajna is your throat. And that is not colored in for you. Mm. It means it's open. So with an open throat, what happens many times is it's not that you can't use it. You can still speak. So I'm not saying you shouldn't have a podcast because you should have a podcast. And we'll talk about why you should with an open throat.
Yeah.
But sometimes, and if you reflect back on your childhood, this could come up for you. You maybe didn't always feel heard mm-hmm. or people weren't ready for your ideas. Mm-hmm. And so you just would get frustrated or you'd have to wait for the right timing, you know, to talk at just the right time.
Yeah.
And then you had to hope it landed, you know, and that the right people were listening at the right time. So that's the beauty of the podcast because the right people will listen at the right time because it's just out there.
Right.
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 Now, the other thing about our open centers, like your throat, is you can borrow energy from other people. Now, my throat happens to be defined, and we're sitting here together having a conversation, uh-huh. which means you can borrow the energy from my throat. And when you're with other people, which is why probably your podcast, having conversations, and it's not just you necessarily, always just talking.
Yeah.
Because many podcasts out there are just the person.
I have one where I'm just, where it's just me.
Yes. That one may feel more tiresome at times or take more energy out of you than this type of podcast where you're borrowing other people's energy.
I'm like, hope that everyone that listens to Patreon is listening right now, because I will get, or when I just, very rarely I do solo episodes on What the Fit. Mm-hmm. And where it's just me. And every time before I'm doing that, I want to procrastinate it. I want to put it off. I will sit here on my phone. I will find anything else to do. Every single time I do them and I'm done, it was amazing. I loved it. It was so good. I got so much out of it. I did an incredible job. I'm very happy with myself. But to start it, yes, is like I'm busting through a brick wall. And I get on here and I'm like, I don't know why it's so hard for me to come on here and just start this if it's just, when it's just me. If it's someone else, no problem. We can't even, you know, wait to press record and we're already going.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I'm going to give you a few insights around that that I think you're going to find fascinating.
I'm sure I will.
So first I will tell you, because your head and your ajna and your throat are all open, like we just talked about, when you do things on your own, rather than overthinking it, You can be a divine channel. That's why when it's done, all the right things came through, because you probably just relaxed into it and didn't have a set agenda.
Yeah.
So whenever you're going to do something just on your own, recording, using your voice, I would set the intention ahead of time that whatever needs to come through me will come through me. The message will be just what the people need to hear. They'll find it just when they're supposed to find it, and just get on there and go.
Wow.
Okay. The reason it's hard for you to like start is because your root center is open and not defined at the very bottom.
Yeah.
That square at the very bottom.
Yeah.
So this is that procrastination energy. Like, oh, I got to do it. Oh, I know I should do it. Oh, once I do it, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
But the beauty of the procrastination energy is sometimes it can work for us. Like the adrenaline rush we get with an open root center and procrastinating sometimes does bring us our best work. You know, other times it can work to our disadvantage if we really push the limits.
Yeah.
And there really isn't enough time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if I'll give the example because I have an open route. It's like if I have to jump on a call on Zoom with a client and I'm like, oh, I have time to go get my shower. I have time to go get my shower. And then I wait and it's like 20 minutes, you know, before the call. I'm like, oh, why did I do this? And then I'm rushing, you know, and there is a little bit of an adrenaline bump there. But there's also like the very real practical time constraint of, I don't want to leave them waiting.
Right.
I still want to look nice.
Right.
When I get on the call. So there's times it can work against us.
Yeah. No, I will just, rush until I'm going to die in order to squeeze it all. Make sure I get everything.
Yes. So there's times we could better fine tune it. Like maybe I could do it 30 minutes instead of 20 minutes before.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, or maybe like you cannot do this thing. Like you just don't have the time to do it. But I'm like, I can do it.
Yeah. You're still going to squeeze it
still
in.
And squeeze it.
You being a generator, I know we're going to get into the types, but you do have that sustainable energy to get things done. So with all those open centers we just talked about, those are your four.
Okay.
You still have that beautiful, consistent life force energy that even when you're absorbing all the other energies, or you're feeling maybe an overwhelm in one of them, or rushed, you know, or the procrastination, you still come back to that life force energy of, I'm going to get it done.
Yeah.
And I can get it done.
Yeah.
And
I do feel that. Yeah. I do feel that. I really do feel that. I really do feel like very sure of myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And that would be very evident in here, because along with the sacral being defined, you also have your G center and your identity, or like heart will centers defined, which means you have a strong sense of purpose and a strong sense of who you are.
Yeah.
So no one's like deterring. You're not second guessing. You're not suffering from much imposter syndrome, you know, with those two defined.
Yeah. Totally. Totally. I'm trying to think if I ever had... imposter. No, I don't think I've ever really had imposter syndrome as in like, oh my gosh, I don't like know what I'm doing here. But I for sure have been in like situations, you know, with work or something where they're like, okay, here, this is the role you're going to do. And I'll kind of be like, oh shit, I've never done that before. So I don't know if I can do it. But then I quickly, as soon as I get in there, I'm like, okay, yes, I can do this.
Yes.
May have a little bit lead time, but.
Right. And what you just described there was you being in your head where you have those open centers. Like, I don't think, you use the word think, I don't think I can do this. But then once you actually get in there and use your body, which has a lot of definition in it, and the energy centers, you realize, then you basically inform your mind that you can do it.
Yeah.
So interesting, right? Your choice of words. Because some people, Like me, I have the head and ajna defined mm-hmm. at the top. So mine are colored in, which means if I go into imposter syndrome, it may be like, who am I to do this thing? I may use the word do because it's an action. Like, who am I to actually go do this
yeah.
in the world? Where you were like, I don't think I yeah. can do it. Sometimes even the wording we choose
wow,
is
yes.
hardwired and within that's, our design.
And that's because of my inner authority, right?
Well, yes,
no.
it can do, no, because your inner authority is emotional.
Oh, okay. So
you're
going to
follow the emotional. But I'm saying like just the way your ratio,
gotcha.
Definition
gotcha.
To openness.
Right. Okay. Yes.
Is laid out. It wouldn't surprise me that we're using, like that you're yep. using those words or I would use these other words. Do you want me to talk about the types?
Yeah.
Really
let's
quick
talk
before
about
we go
types.
Into your authority.
Yeah.
So it makes more sense.
Yeah.
Maybe
let's
to
talk
people
about
that
types.
Are, so hopefully all of you are enjoying just like the little overview here as we talk about the energy centers and anywhere you print off your body graph, there will be some type of detailed mm-hmm. Space where it will point out to you the names of the different energy centers. But in human design, when you just run that initial body graph, you're going to find out your type. All right. And there's
yes.
five types in human design. So we have manifestors, generators, manifesting generators, projectors, and reflectors. So I will give just some highlights quickly
yep.
because we could have all the different types
sure.
listening in, but and some fun facts.
Yeah.
So manifestors make up 9% of the population. Manifestors are like here to have the big ideas
mm-hmm.
and get them out into the world. So when manifestors are in alignment, they feel really peaceful, like, I knew I could do this. I knew I was right. Like, I had the idea. It's coming to fruition. When they're out of alignment, they're angry. They don't have the right people helping them. No one wants to listen to their ideas. And they'll feel very out of alignment in that way. Then we have generators, okay? And generators are here to build things. They have the system. And so you're a generator.
Yeah. I wanted to be a manifester.
You did?
I wanted to be a manifester or a manifesting generator.
Mm.
I did not want to be a boring old generator.
Well, you have a little bit of the manifest. So if you wanted to be the manifester, it's funny because usually manifestors and manifesting generators are open, either head or ajna, both or one or the other.
Maybe so identify a little bit.
You have
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah.
You have a little bit
I'm
of
a
it.
Tiny bit.
You have a spark of it.
Great.
Which is good. I know. Most people, they do. They're like, once they hear the types, like, I really want to be this type.
Yeah.
And then none of us are probably ever the type
right.
that we really want to be when we hear
mm-hmm.
the descriptions.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But generators have that sustainable life force energy to get things done. So really here to create, to build the structures, you
mm-hmm.
know, to put things in place for us.
I really do think of myself as like a farm animal.
See?
Like an oxen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Getting the work done.
Yes.
Seeing it through to the end
yes.
with all the stamina.
Yes. My
yeah.
favorite kind of workouts are like sled pushes or pulls. Like just like full on grunt work.
Yeah.
Like a generator. Yeah.
Trying to think which farm animal I would be as a projector. I guess maybe like the rooster.
I was going to say a rooster.
Yeah. The rooster.
Crowing.
Like the wild. Yeah,
yeah.
It's morning. Time to
yeah.
get up.
Yeah.
We're going to guide the rest of
yeah,
the day
as the
starting
oxen
now.
Plow the fields.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I love it.
Have
I
you ever
it.
Compared human design to farm animals?
I haven't. But it's going to give me a new
yeah,
lens
yeah.
to look at it through. I like
yeah.
it. I like it a lot. And who thought human design couldn't be
yeah,
super
right,
fun,
right?
right it
right.
can be whatever you want it to be. Yeah, so generators, you're really here to get everything done. When you're in alignment, you're going to feel super satisfied, you know? And when you're out of alignment, you're going to feel frustrated. And I only say these in alignment, out of alignment, because if you're listening, start to notice, like, where do you feel frustrated? And not for judgment or to be in victimhood, but to notice, like, what's happening
yeah.
when I feel frustrated? How could I change this for myself?
Yeah.
We can empower ourselves through these things. And when you're feeling satisfied, wow, how do I create more of this?
Right.
Like, what's going right now that I want to create more of in
right.
my life? And then manifesting generators are the great hybrid, all
yeah.
right, of the manifester and the generator. It's about 35% of the population. Generators are another 35%. But the manifesting generator is here to find all the shortcuts. They're the great multitaskers. So they can get a lot done quickly. So when we think about society tells us, oh, you shouldn't multitask. It's really not good for you. Actually, for their energy type, they
it
thrive
is.
In it.
Wow.
And they need to have multiple projects
mm-hmm.
going on. You know, manifesting generators, though, will start things because they have the idea. And then sometimes they won't finish everything.
Mm.
Depends how much of the generator energy they want to contribute to it. So I always tell manifesting generators, have a good team around you, delegate effectively, and be really clear that you're not going to finish the project. But manifesting generators, they will feel peaceful and satisfied when they're in alignment, or they will feel frustrated and angry when they are out of alignment. But they are here to show the rest of us shortcuts and faster ways to get things done. And they tend to get frustrated with the rest of us because we're just not as fast as them. All right. And then projectors are 20% of the population. So I'm a projector. Projectors are here to be the wise guides, to be very intuitive, understand people at a deep level. We almost have that bird's eye view. So like we're really good at systems and processes. So we can like see the big picture and know like this person should be here. This activity should happen. Ooh, at this
I like
time.
That. Maybe I want to be a projector.
Yeah. But you wouldn't want to be because we are not the oxen. We are not here to do the do.
I feel like I just know that I'm not so deep down that like I can't even want it, you know? It's just so unattainable for me.
You'd also be super frustrated because projectors, our energy is the type that for like work, we are meant to do 3 to 4 hours of work.
That sounds
each
great.
Day.
That's what do you mean? That sounds wonderful.
It may sound good because of some of your openness. Yeah. It may sound good that way.
I can do 3 to 4 hours of work a day. I can be okay with that.
Yes. But what I will say,
work, I guess.
Other types sometimes hear that about projectors and they're like, wow, that sounds super lazy. Mm. Like, what are you doing the rest of the time? And so it's not that projectors aren't doing other things, but typically what we are doing when we're not doing like the hands-on work, we're listening to the podcast, we're reading the book, maybe we're taking another course, like we're fine-tuning our education, our expertise, because we are guiding other people. And then there is that idea, and this goes for all the types, it just comes through a little bit more for projectors, of we all need that little bit of that internal time as we're mastering our craft to really bring it to the world. And so part of that time, projectors are doing that. They're getting things just right, you know, or they're studying the thing that needs to be fixed so they can come back and fix it. And then when projectors are in alignment, they feel really successful, like seen, valued, recognized. When we're out of alignment, we feel very bitter, like unseen, unheard. And projectors have to wait for an invitation, which is a little bit different than the other types. So that can be another confounding issue for projectors until they really understand that. And then we have reflectors, which only make up 1% of the population. If anyone is looking at their body graph right now, a reflector has all those energy centers not colored in.
They have no energy. They have everything's open because you're reflecting everything back.
Yes. Now they could have some gates defined, just the numbers defined.
Who is a projector?
Reflector.
Reflector. Sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Reflector.
So reflectors, Sandra Bullock is probably the most famous one as an actress. I have met a few clients. I was at an event where when I gave my talk, nobody raised their hand that they were a reflector. But then this woman came up to me after the event.
She's like, I am.
And was like, I am, but I didn't want to raise my hand.
She didn't want to be the
oddball. She didn't
want to
be
out.
The only one.
Yeah.
So reflectors are, but they are great evaluators because they absorb everything going on around them. They're watching. And then they reflect back to us like what we're doing well, what we're not doing well.
Wow.
And so a challenge for reflectors is that in their like authority, they are here to wait 28 days to make a decision, meaning they're supposed to follow the lunar cycle. Now, that's
cool
for big decisions.
Yeah.
Not what you're going to eat every day.
Yeah,
not if
you're
going to go to wine night or hang out with your friends.
Yeah.
No, it's not that. And I also say, like, since they follow that moon cycle, and this goes a little bit deeper into human design, but, you know, we know the planets transit. And so if we're looking at that astrological piece of human design, our charts change a little bit depending on the influence of the planet. So I'm a projector overall, but I could be in generating energy during certain transits.
Oh.
You could be in more of a projector energy during certain transits.
Interesting. Yes. So we're not so fixed instead. Because I'm hearing you talk about these and I'm like, well, I kind of feel a little bit that way. And like, Okay.
Yeah. So depending. So that's something when you're deeper into human design, you could start to track.
You can look.
For reflectors though, it's really important because if they're tracking that, there are times where they're like, oh, I'm in generating energy this week. I could get a lot of stuff done.
Let me just do it now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm here to be a manifesting generator this week, so I can have a huge checklist.
Yeah.
And get a lot of things done. So it's more empowering, I think, when you have a lot of openness.
Yeah.
To know that, oh, but this actually transits and there are cycles that my natural energy flows in where I can do certain things.
Yeah.
You know, outside of these limits of my exact birth time.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So we got the type. When yeah. this strategy where it says, for me, it says to respond. Is that related to the generator?
Yes.
Okay, so what's that connection?
Yeah, generators are here to respond. For you, you are the emotional generator. So you're responding based on your wave of emotions. Some generators could be sacral or pure, meaning they're a hell yes or no in the moment. So they get a gut feeling, okay. and that's it.
Quick.
Yeah, yes or no.
Okay.
For you, you're here to ride that emotional wave. And I know we talked about it a little bit before we jumped on. But for other people, emotional authority is a popular one. It's more common. So there will definitely be people listening to this that are going to look and be like, I have emotional authority.
Yep.
So you're meant to ride that wave of emotions, meaning you are here to feel all of the emotions.
Yeah.
The high highs, the low lows.
What a gift.
Every emotion, yes, in between. And that's how you are designed to make your decisions. Now, sometimes with emotional authority, you can answer right in the moment. Until you've really fine-tuned it, though, and understand your emotional wave, I always tell people, don't commit yes or no right in the moment. Even if you just need to, say you're at dinner, just run to the bathroom by yourself. See how you're feeling about it while you're in the bathroom based on what the person, because you're here to respond, right, as the generator. But you're here to respond and make a decision from your emotional space. So there's times in the moment you could say yes and regret it the next day.
Yeah.
There's times you could say no in the moment and regret it the next day.
Yeah, for sure. And we talked about that this is really kind of counterintuitive from what we've been taught. At least for me, I know I've been taught you make decisions around things based on logic. You need to think them through. You need to like weigh the pros and cons and make a list and really like think and put your head into it. When now you're saying my design actually is to feel it. Do I feel it or do I not?
Yes.
And I've been actively working against that my entire life.
Yes. Now what I'll offer is it can be both and. So you could make your list of pros and cons.
Okay.
And then feel into each one.
Okay.
What emotion comes up for me around each pro and each con.
But then I think like, how do you explain that to other people?
Why do you have to explain it to other people?
Great question. I don't know. I feel like people may ask. I like to have a reason.
You want them to understand your process?
Yeah, I guess I do. But why do I need that? But I guess then, yeah, like why do I feel the need to?
Yes.
Like have them like understand why I'm making a decision for myself.
Yes. I mean, this is a little outside of human design, but for fun, we could try to get to the root of that.
Okay.
Why that's important to you.
Yeah.
You're just going to give me like your first intuitive thought, like just the first idea that comes to mind.
Okay.
So why do you need to explain it to people?
So they know how I arrived at the decision.
Yeah. Why do they need to know how you arrived at it?
Why do they need to know how I arrived at it? So that they can like validate that it makes sense too.
Yeah. Why do you need them to validate that it makes sense too?
Because I guess I don't trust myself to make my own decision.
Why don't you trust yourself enough to make the decision?
Because I've made decisions that have not been correct in the past.
Ooh, and why did you make those decisions that weren't correct in the past, or who told you you made the wrong decision in the past?
I guess I didn't. I thought that I was making the right decision, but then it turned out to not be the right one.
Yes. So then we're at the root. You're really afraid of making the wrong decision.
I'm afraid of making the wrong decision.
So it really has nothing to do with you needing to tell people how you arrived.
Totally.
At it.
Yeah.
You don't trust yourself.
I don't trust myself.
Yes. So you get to practice self-compassion and non-judgment against yourself.
Yes.
Right. Or not against yourself, with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, for yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's what's at the root of you being afraid. What other people are going to ask the process and how do I explain it? What if they want to know how?
I know it's true that it, I mean, I see it coming up a lot for me.
Mm-hmm.
And especially now if it comes to like new relationships or dating.
Yes.
Game over. Like, I'm just like, do you tell me, do I have a crush on this person? Do I have a crush? Like someone tell me, someone make the decision for me because I'm probably going to make the wrong fucking decision.
Because you're in your head. And if you follow your emotional authority.
If I follow my emotional authority, then I feel like that's going to be even worse.
We could do the whys on this.
Oh my God. We'll get into the whys on that in an offline conversation because that is really interesting because I have, I've just kind of, even recently, even I've been wanting to just be like, not to go on feeling, just to be like, let's just not even think about the feelings because then we don't have to like figure out if we're going to go after it or not.
Right. But again, you're thinking about the feelings.
How do I stop thinking?
So I always tell
thoughts,
people.
Just vibes.
Just imagine when you're in this emotional authority.
Yeah.
Okay. This will be really good. It's like you drop out of your mind and into your heart space.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to, and I usually like when I help people do it, like we're going to, we close our eyes and we just drop. We have all that mental clutter. Mm-hmm. Like we all do. It doesn't matter if we're defined or not defined. Everybody has mental stuff, you know, filling up the tank in that space. So it's like closing your eyes, taking those deep breaths, acknowledging, there's thoughts there. Maybe you start to see them float away, you know, like in little bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
Just let them all float away. And then just let your attention float down from that head space into your heart space.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're there, just ask yourself, what does my heart, like what does my body want to tell me about how I feel about this?
Interesting.
How I feel about this date, right?
Yeah.
How I feel about this food I'm going to eat.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Oh my gosh, it's like so much dropping into the body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm really going to practice that.
Yes. Yeah, it's a great tool just to use.
I had a great, I'm going to actually have this woman come on the podcast soon. We did like somatic therapy and she helped me move through grief in a way that I had like never done before because it was like actually feeling it.
Yes. You have to, and you have emotional authority.
I know.
You have to feel it.
I have to practice that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So anyone that has emotional authority on here, this is for you.
It is.
Drop in.
Yeah. Another good thing. This is for emotional authority, but I will say just for anyone listening that feels like, ooh, I don't know if I'm as in touch with my emotions because whether the solar plexus energy center, which is our emotional energy center on the body graph, whether it's defined or open, we can still have conditioning around that energy center. And emotions are a big one for all of us to have had some level of conditioning around.
Yeah.
Mainly because we all start as little children, right? And we're emotional beings. We're not as developed at that point, right? Child development plays a huge role in how we learn to cope and how we learn to manage our emotions. And so in either case, we can be overly emotional and be told, well, we don't act that way. You know, you better be good when we go in this place, or, oh my gosh, you're happy, then you're upset. Can't keep up with you. Or you know what? Why don't you go to your room till you calm down?
Mm-hmm.
Then you can come back down.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all these layers, and our parents, everybody's parents are doing, for the most part, the best they can do with the resources they have, and they were told the same thing.
Right.
So we just have generational patterns of this with no one really understanding each other's energy, and that's all
fine. Why does everyone hate emotions? Because
like, it's vulnerability.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, it's not, like some of them are comfortable. They're not all uncomfortable. So it's not this like discomfort thing, but the ones that are uncomfortable, we really don't want to touch.
Everybody shies away from.
We really don't want to go there.
Yes, I agree with you. And because
it's
of
like,
that.
Why?
Well.
Because like we can handle it. Our bodies are equipped. Like we're obviously, they're there for a reason. They're messages.
Exactly.
But like we've just, it's just been conditioned out of us. Capitalism. The Industrial Revolution.
Yes. Society in general, right? Depending. I always say ancestral because many of us had relatives that migrated, right, from other countries and ended up in the United States. But also, like within our DNA, the epigenetics, we carry some of these traits. We carry, right, these traumas.
Mm-hmm.
It's been shown in scientific studies now that we bring some of this in on our DNA, whether we've truly experienced it or not.
Crazy.
So we have all these different layers. We can bring it in that way. Then our parents say it to us. We go to school. School really conditions us, right? Quite a bit.
Yep.
The way it's structured, you know, our peer groups, we all want to fit in with our friends. So, well, you know, we probably all went through the period, we're females. We all went through that period of puberty where, oh, we all cried together. Mm. He's such a jerk, you know, or whatever it was. And then, you know, we're boys, on the other hand, might be taught, like, don't cry.
Yeah.
We don't
absolutely
cry.
Absolutely not.
We don't. So there's all those factors contributing. All of those, though, have created this disconnect from our emotions and feeling safe and secure enough to express all of them. So a really good practice that I tell a lot of people to do is go and stand in front of a mirror and watch yourself have the emotion. Witness yourself. That is so powerful. Witnessing yourself cry, right? And seeing it.
Yeah.
Witnessing yourself laugh and jump up and down and celebrate
the
thing. You know, like maybe you're going to go on a great date and you're going to come home and jump up and down in front of the mirror like, yes. Mm-hmm. But you just get to do that for you and celebrate it and watch yourself have the emotion. It gives you so much more permission to continue then to express your emotions.
Wow. That's really cool. That's really good. What's the split definition?
So
definition, split definition.
That gets a little bit more advanced, but basically what happens between those energy centers you're looking at, those lines that are colored in, the numbers are called gates when they actually connect to another number.
Okay.
Those are called channels. So your definition has to do with where those channels connect other energy centers to each other.
Okay.
I will leave it
that.
Okay. It's a little more advanced and it can get confusing.
And then, okay, so the incarnation cross.
Yes.
This is like a big thing, right?
Yes.
Is this our soul's purpose? What is this? Yeah.
People get drawn to it. It is an element of our soul's purpose.
Okay. I must have read something that drew me into it.
It is.
Making it flashy.
Yes, they do. They like to make it flashy.
Okay.
So it does have a lot to do with your soul's purpose. The number that determines it, on each side, there are numbers that go up and down the body graph.
Uh-huh.
Okay. They have little symbols inside them.
Yeah.
Those are the symbols for the sun, the earth, the north node, the south node, the moon, and then all the planets.
Yep.
Okay. And it's on each side. So the left-hand side, when you're looking at it, those numbers were determined 88 days before your birth. So when you were asking me about the soul and the humanness before, I believe those numbers to be our soul numbers. Like the soul chose
design,
this body.
It says the design.
Yes.
Okay.
So they'll call
the
it
soul.
This body. I call it the soul numbers.
Love it. Okay.
Yeah. And sometimes you'll see this called unconscious. Design or unconscious.
Okay.
If you're
okay.
studying human design or you're Googling or looking things up. So I'll be clear. Like I call it soul.
Soul.
Not everybody's going to call it that out there. And then on the right-hand side, those numbers are determined at your exact time of birth. So I think of that. It says personality, right? Because it's our expressed personality.
Right.
I also think of that as like our ego or our humanness.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
So that number 22 on the right-hand side helps determine your incarnation cross.
Okay.
So the placement in your sun. So if we were thinking astrology, right, we usually think the sun refers to our career, our purpose, our father.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why it has everything to do with your purpose. Now, all these other numbers do influence it. The number right below it, the earth, is what grounds you in this life. Like, pulls you back because we think of the sun, it's the thing we're always aspiring to.
Right.
We're always trying to reach, but we do need something that creates that tension.
Yep.
Right? Or we would just catapult.
Too close to the sun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So for you with the 22, it's interesting because the 22, just the gate itself, you know, I've been some of the different people I've studied with, a lot of people call it like the Mother Teresa gate.
Oh.
Okay. But you have to think of it through this lens.
I can't wait to hear this.
So when we think of Mother Teresa, right, we saw her as caring for those who were less fortunate, right? That was the picture that we would see. However, she had to be multifaceted and multidimensional.
Of course, right.
Because she also had to be that very strategic negotiator.
Mm-hmm. Not every nun is as famous as her.
No.
How did she, Mother Teresa, get to be the most famous nun?
Exactly. What we never saw, right, that probably rarely made the news, was all the people she had to go up against to get the funding that she needed to care for these massive amounts of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the idea of that number 22 for you, you know, and having this as your incarnation cross is this idea of expressing love to the masses, but also having a strategy, a charisma, right? A way to persuade people to do what you want them to do when the timing is right. So it's a lot about timing. It's not just you're here, there, everywhere, you know, trying to persuade. You will, with time, with this natural purpose, know how to fine tune it, not just to get what you want, but it is for the betterment yeah. of the whole. So there is like this collective energy of you emanating love from your heart out to the masses.
Yeah.
And it's probably followed you.
Yeah.
You were probably the little girl maybe that had like the dolls or the toys and you loved all of them. You didn't know which one you loved the most. You know?
I would feel guilty
mm-hmm.
if I wasn't playing with all of my Barbies
See?
In the same way. Like if I got a new Barbie mm-hmm. and she was played with
the other
more,
one might have
I felt her. So bad. For that Barbie.
Yes. So see, it was very naturally within you. So yes, that has a lot to do with your purpose. Now, the decimal point after that 22, you have a 1 after it.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the archetypal energy that you will best express your purpose, okay? So the 1 is the investigator or researcher.
Oh.
Meaning you are here to use your investigative, maybe abilities, gather mm-hmm. the facts that need to be gathered to make the case that's very persuasive, you know, or people will count on you to have the knowledge they don't have. Okay. So it doesn't really matter that your head and Ajna are open. You know, some people would say, well, how can I be a 1 when my head and Ajna are open? But when you think about it, gives you that much more capability to be the 1 because you're absorbing the energy of other people. You're able to almost read their minds when mm-hmm. you're wanting to persuade them. And then you're bringing the facts and figures that they need, just the ones they need, because you don't need an overabundance in and of yourself.
Yeah.
But then you're bringing just the ones they need.
I sound like a vampire.
Yeah, to make the case.
Yeah.
To get what you want.
Wow, cool. Okay, and so then that's the body. That's the ego. That's like the expression.
Yes.
Okay. So then what about my soul?
So, yeah. So then your soul is also on.
I kind of want my soul to redeem me a little bit because I'm good with the love, but I feel the.
Yes. So with your soul, you know.
The persuasion part is good.
Yes. So your soul isn't necessarily caught up in the incarnation cross.
Right.
It's more your incarnation cross is based on that.
Oh, gotcha.
Ego human side because it's your purpose in your humanity.
Got it.
If you want to think about that unconscious side, think of it as the energy that kind of comes alongside you, you know, to be supportive, or maybe it's a lesson that you need to learn.
Yeah.
You know, so for you, that is 20, is it 26 or 28?
26.
Yep. 26. So that 45. Does bring like more of an energy of timing, like knowing when to say the thing versus when not to say the thing, kind of knowing like when to engage in a battle, so to speak. With someone, there would be some of that energy caught up in there. And the archetype you have there is the 3. This also is your profile number. So the 1/3.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's also your profile number.
Yeah. Okay. Profile.
So the 1 that we talked about, the investigator researcher, that's how you see yourself because it's on the human side, you know, or your ego side. The 3 is how other people see you.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Now, no, it's not bad. Nothing in human design is
bad. It's not bad. I just can't wait to hear it.
I always just like to point out to people that many times we're really we're all egotistical.
Yes.
We're in human bodies.
Yes.
So we're really focused on, you're really focused on that 1. I'm really focused on the number that I have first. We can't help it. It's like, this is how I see myself. This is how I'm going to change the world
right.
and how I'm going to do
I'm
it.
I'm so important.
Yeah. It's all about the how and how we see ourselves. Mm-hmm. The second number tends to be a huge blind spot for all of us because we are not considering how everyone else sees us.
Right.
So in our relationships, we're not thinking about this.
Right.
If we have a business or even at work, right? Our colleagues, they see us this way.
And it's like we can't see. It just like you said, a blind spot. Like totally.
Yes. So we're not even tapping into the goodness of it. So the 3, in human design, it's called the martyr or the priest. But I always say, again, don't get caught up in the word
the
martyr.
The naming convention, yeah.
Yeah, martyr or priest, because society, right, has changed our connotation, right, of those words. If we really think about a martyr or a priest or a priestess in their truest form, it was really somebody that was willing to die for their cause.
Mm.
You know, someone that believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is the way to go, and I will fall on my sword
right.
for everybody else.
Someone that's very sure of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, we have to harness that type of energy because that's really the energy of the 3. So a 3 tends to be someone that other people really like. So you're very likable, you know, someone that has taken chances in life or risks, isn't afraid to fail, even if you fail, you're going to pick yourself back up and keep trying till you get it right. You know, other people kind of want to live vicariously through you in that way because they see you learning through life experience. So that's a whole side of you that you're like, yes, that's me.
Yeah.
And how much are you really harnessing, right, and leveraging that in your relationships, within your, you know, business and the work that you do day to day?
Really interesting. Yeah, I can see this would be so like a fascinating tool for people to really dig into, understand themselves. Yes. Like you said, to see like, where are you not showing up in the space? That's like, it's almost like your potential.
Yes.
Like it's there. Like you, it's there if you're not aware of it or you're not like fully stepped into it. Like I think this could really help people. Yes,
it does help people quite a bit. And I'll just point out that the sun and the earth, the two top numbers on each side, you'll see that they have the same decimal numbers.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
When you go down all those planets, and I know you're looking at yours right now, you'll notice there's different numbers in those decimal places. If anyone's listening and they're curious about that, it is a deeper human design element, but I'll explain it high level so that no one's like, well, wait, why do I have these different numbers? So just like in astrology, how the different planets mean different things. Mm-hmm. So we know Mercury is all about communication.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, I have a lot of Mercury in my chart.
Yeah. So if we look at Mercury in your human design, you know, on your soul side, you're a five with the archetype of two. And then over on your human side, you're a three with an archetype of five. Okay, just meaning those are the channels. So you're going to bring a when you look at those gates, gates. When you look at those gates in your human design, that's going to be a natural energy for communication for you.
Mm.
Okay, because Mercury is about communication.
Yeah.
Now, when you are communicating from your humanness, it's going to be that five archetype. This really fits you the way I know you at this point in time. This is the disruptive innovator.
Mm.
Willing to say the thing that everybody else wants to say, but they're afraid to say it. All right? Like the person on social media who you're like, I should unfollow them because they posted this, but I'm going to keep tuning in every day, never let them know I'm watching, and I can't wait to see the comments that people are, you know, dropping on that post that they did.
Uh-huh.
It's that energy in your humanness.
Yeah.
Okay? And your soul side, it's the two, which is the hermit, okay? Or, again, it's like a wise guide, but a hermit has to go internal to develop their natural gifting, okay? So when you are communicating, you may see yourself as the disruptive innovator, okay? I'm going to say the thing. I'm going to challenge the status quo. I'm going to bring up the topic that maybe nobody else wants to talk about.
Yes.
We're going to get into it, you know? Now, other people, they're going to see you as that element to a degree, but what they really see is the person who has done the introspective work to even want to bring this topic forward.
Wow, they have such a kinder, gentler view than I have of myself. Yes,
but think about...
No, that's good, though. That's good. And that's honestly what I hope, because when you're speaking like directly to, I have like a Patreon portion of the podcast where I go into the stuff that people maybe not don't want to talk about.
Yes.
Really vulnerable details of my personal life because of what I've learned through those experiences. Like, that's why I'm telling it, right? Like, I'm like, of course there is this kind of like shock value and this like entertainment value because like that is like actually just how it really happened in my life. Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying to convey through that is like, but then there was like this other side, you know, or like we got through this thing, or like, this is what I learned about myself or whatever.
Yes. So I love that because that's you naturally using this particular energy you have in Mercury around your communication style. And, you know, just to offer, when you're creating content or you're deciding like, what am I going to be putting out next? Lean in a little bit more to, what's even deeper in this story, you know, or what is a gift that I developed because of maybe that challenge or whatever happened, and bringing that more into the disruptive innovation of what you're conveying. Because that's like a magic secret sauce for you based on your human design.
Yes. Okay. I do feel that. I feel like the Patreon for me, and I just started doing this probably just back in August. So the podcast I've been doing for 6 years, but I just started doing Patreon back in August.
Okay.
So it's a fairly new endeavor. So I'm still, of course, you know, feeling my way in through what does this content look like? What does this art look like? You know, what do the stories look like for me?
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like I feel like I'm in a very much a groove. Like I tell everyone, like, here's a plug for Patreon. Yeah. Like it's my best work right now. Like mm-hmm. it is, and I know that it is because of the response I get from people that are listening that are like, holy shit, like this is amazing. You know, this is great. Like, thank you for sharing this. I'm like, I've thought this too, but no one's ever said it, you know, whatever it is. So right. I'm like, okay, good, good. People are like getting it.
Yes.
So I'm like,
no, that's perfect. And you know, everybody listening to that, if you're loving this conversation, you should be following her.
Yeah. You should be on her Patreon.
Yeah. You should be on her Patreon.
Absolutely. It's good.
You know, if you're loving these podcasts and these conversations she brings in, imagine.
Yeah.
Imagine the goodness.
Imagine the goodness.
All the love with an edge.
Yeah. It is. Oh my God. Maybe that's my tagline for Patreon. We just come up with my new marketing tagline for Patreon. All the love with an edge, with that's a sharp knife edge. Yeah.
Oh, but it'll hurt so good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It will. It will. It will definitely turn you on. Okay, cool. So I'm just taking a look here. So the gate. Can you talk a little bit about like the gate? Like what is a gate? That concept I'm still...
Yes. So when you're looking at those numbers inside each of the energy centers, so uh-huh. those little shapes. So people that are listening in, you know, pick a shape... one of the energy centers on your body graph, uh-huh. and then you'll see the little numbers inside of them. Each of those numbers is called a gate. Think of gates as like an extra spark of energy, maybe a natural gift or talent, maybe a lesson that you're here to learn.
Okay.
So if they're colored in, then they're called defined, just like the energy centers, and it means you bring that spark of energy.
I bring the ones that are colored in.
Yes.
Okay.
And if they're just open, you're just absorbing again that energy.
Okay.
Okay. So that's the best way to think about it.
Okay. That makes sense.
Especially when we go back to that light bulb metaphor analogy, you know, it's almost like, the string of Christmas lights, you know, like maybe you already have the energy center defined and then you have a gate that's lit up off of it. So if you already have the energy center defined, like you've put the white lights on the tree. And then maybe you add that little adapter that makes them flash.
Yeah.
Okay. That would be like having some gates. Now, if you have an open energy center with a gate defined, think of it as when you absorb all that energy, when you're bringing it all in, then you bring this extra natural spark that's all your own. So sometimes that helps with discernment.
Yeah.
In those energy centers. Sometimes like I was saying with you and I, your throat's open, mine's defined. When we're together, you're borrowing that energy. So it's almost like yours is defined right now as we're having this conversation.
Oh, wow.
And when we look at your throat, you do bring that one gate that is defined.
Yep.
Which means you're going to bring that extra spark of asking the right question. You know what I mean? Like pulling the story out.
45, it looks like, is the one.
Yes.
Okay.
And so that one is usually about like being able to extract the information that's going to be most important.
Oh, wow. That's to others. So cool.
Yes. Now, in and of yourself, you're still going to have this.
Yeah.
You know, so when you're sitting in a conversation, like just out with friends, somebody probably has a defined throat, you know. Maybe when you're out more in a group, you have to wait until it's kind of your turn to talk, or you feel not as heard.
Yeah.
But when you do get to talk, right, you're borrowing their energy and then you bring that spark.
Interesting. I wonder if it has anything to do. I think I find myself like funnier with certain people.
Mm-hmm. That would be why. If they're funnier naturally, or your energy plays off each other.
Yeah. It's like when it plays. Yeah.
Yes.
Where I'm like, oh, this will be like, I'm going to have the conversation with this person. We're going to be so funny. It's going to be great.
Yes.
But other times it's just not there. But they can be fun. Like those people can be funny, but like I'm just not as funny with them.
Not as funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, and like I said before, just remember that with your head and your ajna and your throat all open, you also can very much like channel what needs to be said in the moment. So another way that could show up, especially if we're thinking of like just being out with friends.
Yeah.
You know, like no pressures of work or recording for anyone. Right. You could just be out. Maybe somebody's sharing like something that's going on and they're kind of like maybe down about it. Mm-hmm. You'll be one of those people that when you get the opportunity then to talk, like you'll say something. It will be super profound and everybody will be like, oh, say that again. I need to write it down. And you'll be like, it's gone.
Yeah.
I don't have it anymore because it wasn't really of you.
Oh,
it was coming through you because of this openness.
That's going to be my new thing. If I say anything fucked up, I'm like, I'm sorry. It was channeled through me.
Channeled through me.
It was not of my own volition.
Yes.
Do not blame me for the message. Yes. Don't kill the messenger.
But you will have a natural way of being able to offer advice when you're tuned into those open centers.
Oh, that's so cool. That's really cool. Really quickly about like the like motivation or the environment. Yes. Like what are those things?
So those, they're a little bit more advanced as well. So I don't mind to just touch on them high level. So usually those are the things that help you. They like add an assistance to some of your decision making, or they let you know like your best environment to work in. Mm. The arrows, they tie into those. The arrows are called variables. So those elements actually tie in to the variables. So high level, like around those variables, we're looking to see which directions the arrows are going. So in your case, it looks like the ones on the left-hand side are both pointing to the left.
Mm.
And then on, I think so.
Yeah.
And then on the right-hand side, the upper one is pointing to the left and the lower one is pointing to the right. The simplified version of this is left brain, right brain. Okay.
Okay.
So left brain meaning more logical, more methodical, right brain being more creative. So on the left-hand side, the top arrow has to do with digestion, meaning like how you digest life, what rhythms you like.
Oh.
With yours pointing to the left, it means you like a fixed rhythm. Okay, you thrive best when there's a set schedule. Oh, you eat at the same times every day. Oh, yeah. You know, it's
more active. I'm a routine
girly.
I'm a routine girl. I love a routine.
Yes, it's very active and it needs to fall in line. That's where it doesn't mean you can't get off a little bit.
Yeah.
Off schedule, but you're going to thrive when it's in alignment that way. Now that arrow right below it is about what you're supposed to do in your environment. So with that pointing to the left, it means people are supposed to observe you in your environment. You are here to be a role model. Other people want to see how you're doing things, how you're living life. Okay, so that is where you're in your element. If you're supposed to like look to someone else constantly for that,
no,
you'll feel out of alignment. Yeah. Doesn't mean there isn't some give and take time to time.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're gonna learn things and grow and there will be times you are focused. But even while you're focused on learning the other thing, there's still people watching you as the role model learn the new thing. So that's always a constant to keep you in alignment.
Wow, that's so crazy.
Yeah. On the other side, on that right-hand side, that top arrow is all about your mind. Okay. So again, this points to the left, which means you have more of a logical, systematic mindset around things. Now, again, we're not going to get hung up on, well, my head and ajna are open. It just means that as you bring in that information, you do like to kind of categorize it.
Yes,
you know,
100%.
And your flood of ideas. You're like, oh, I put these over here. I put these over here.
Yeah.
And it may be an organization only you understand, right? No one else would understand it.
Totally.
But there is a level of logical organization that is going on for you internally.
Yes.
That you thrive in.
Yes.
Okay.
Totally.
100%. The lower arrow below that one points to the right. It's the only one you have pointing to the right. This is about how we manifest. And so you are a non-specific manifester.
Oh, no. What does that mean?
That just means that...
I thought we're supposed to be very specific about what we manifest.
Well, this is why I really love human design. Because some people should be and some people shouldn't.
Oh,
it's going to be out
God.
Of alignment for some people. So, like, you don't need a vision board.
Oh,
vision boards
great.
Actually are not good for you.
Okay, I don't have one. I did an audio vision board one time where I just spoke out into the world what I wanted to happen.
Yes, I have the same. So, and I know for all of you that have it pointing the other way that love a good vision board, I love
that you love a good vision board.
You should do it. It just doesn't work for all of us all the time.
You don't want it to be so specific. You want to leave it open to who knows what could happen.
Yes.
And that is what I feel.
With that non-specific manifestation style, it kind of means set the intention and then like let the universe surprise you.
Great. I love that approach.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm doing.
I love this and I'm happy whatever way it arrives. You know, as long as it's for my greatest and highest good and everybody else's greatest and highest good, and you can be really creative and just surprise me. You know, I'm here for the ride. People that have it pointing the other way, like they do, they need the vision board and they need to hold fast and hold on to that vision because that's what helps them manifest.
Cool. Oh my God. This is so great. And so you do body graph readings, right? Yes. Or not like, what do we call them?
So I call them a human design session.
Human design session. Perfect. Yes. Let's call it by its rightful name. Where you can kind of just go full in, right? And like talk specifically probably about maybe what people are working on or what's opportunities are available to them or where their challenges are and kind of coach them through based on their unique design.
Yes.
So cool.
I do.
That's amazing. Just to like pivot really quick, when you're not doing these things, what are you doing to take care of yourself?
Oh, yes. So, you know, I have this healthcare and academic background. Yeah. So honestly, self-care from the time it became a buzz type of thing, you know, especially being in healthcare, mm-hmm. I've always made some type of effort. I will say though, after episodes of burnout, right, in my lived experience, my idea of self-care has definitely evolved mm-hmm. Over the years. So like some core things I do for myself every day is, number one, I always try to get the sleep that I need.
Okay? Most important.
Yes. And most important. I know it's cliche and we always say it, but I am telling you, the sleep is
the most important
for everything else. Like our circadian rhythm.
It's annoying, yes. But it's the truth.
Yes. Yes. And you want a true escape every day. Fall into a nice deep sleep.
Hell yeah.
You know, that's the way to go.
Hell yeah.
It's a great way to end your day, and it's the best way to start your day is waking up refreshed. So even though it sounds silly, if you can commit to that 7 to 8 hours, like it's so important. So that I do prioritize that. And on top of that, I prioritize my nightly routine in terms of what I disconnect from at certain times, my unwind, you know, like with certain meditations I like to listen to or even just soft music in my AirPods, really not looking at the screen while I'm listening, like disconnecting from having the screen in front of me. You know, I'm a mom. I have a whole routine with my daughter and those things, which I'm hoping instills that in her as well. And then, you know, I love to start my morning when I let our dogs out with some sun gazing. So I'm really about setting that circadian rhythm, especially like I'm getting older. These things are just important hormonally.
So important.
For balance within my physical body, but then it also lends itself to my mental, emotional, and
don't
spiritual
bodies. Don't you feel better going outside in the morning? I walk every single morning, like pretty much like when the sun comes up. And I've always had a morning walk forever before I listened to Andrew Huberman and him telling us to get sunlight directly into our eyes.
Yes.
And you just feel better.
You do. You do. It makes a huge...
I don't need any science behind it. I know it to be true.
And it's so simple. And if you think about it, it gets us back to like what ancient people did before we had all this technology. You know,
we were sleeping outside.
Yeah. How do we just get back to some of those basics we can still build in? So mm-hmm. I love to do the sun gazing. You know, I always do some type of meditation or prayer time for myself in the morning. Now that varies for me.
Yeah.
Unlike you, I have a more fluid schedule built into my design. So some days that's longer, some days that's shorter, but it's a non-negotiable. Yep. And I will joke with like my husband and my daughter, like if they're like, you're not, it's a Saturday. I'm like, gosh, you're on edge. And I'm like, I didn't get to do my prayer time this morning.
Yeah.
It got thrown off. You know, I'm like, I am not myself if I don't get that.
100. I do my morning affirmations before I get out of bed. Yes. And if I don't do my, I was the other day, I mean, I was on a streak because I use Insight Timer.
Uh-huh.
And I was on a streak. I don't know. I was probably like...
Don't you love how they count your consecutive days?
Oh, I love it. It was exactly what got me into meditation was like that little gamification part of it.
Yes.
The longest I ever did was like a 70-day streak. I was probably at like 45.
Uh-huh.
And I can't tell you what happened, but in the middle of the day, I jolted and I was like, I didn't do my affirmations. it just like hit me out of nowhere. I was like, oh my God.
I have to do it.
Like it just like stopped me in my tracks,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, and I don't know if it is just this like so much routine thing now. It's totally a habit where I'm just like, this is just how I feel good. This is how I start the day,
right?
But I really do think it's something too, just about the taking the deep breaths, the meditative piece
gets us in our body.
You know? I do, like prayer time. You know exactly that. Just like gratitude. Like I just feel gratitude while I'm doing it.
Yes.
And I think that there's something all to that, mm-hmm. that it just does make a difference in the rest of your day.
It does. And then like my other basics are I like to drink enough water, which again is something we all talk about. But if you want like a spiritual element to add to that, like blessing your water, setting intentions around your water that you're going to drink all day.
Oh my God, I love that.
You know, they've actually looked at water under a microscope that's been exposed to like chaotic type of music, and all the water molecules are like all over the place. What? And then they've played like classical music or something that's more organized, you know, from a musical perspective, and the water molecules come together.
I wonder what Taylor Swift does to the water molecules.
I know. I don't know.
We'd have positive. To, absolutely we'd have positive.
To, it should be all positive.
Yeah, it's
she's a projector, by the way.
Makes sense.
She's a projector.
Makes sense.
She's a great storyteller.
But she works really hard.
She does. I worry about her sometimes with that schedule. But yes. If you pull her body graph, unlike a lot of projectors, like she has a lot of definition. Mm. She does have a lot of energy centers defined,
yeah.
Even though her sacral isn't. And so I bet if we could get behind the scenes, she probably has like a crazy self-care downtime.
She, as much as she's putting in, she is resting.
She has to be.
Yeah.
She wouldn't be able to bring that level of performance.
Yeah.
Looking at her design.
Right.
Unless she had
right.
a lot
she
of
has
people
to.
Behind
and she's
the
got
scenes
a down
helping
pat.
Her
you know
do
she
that.
Does.
Yeah. She does. She does. So yeah, the water's really fun to think about.
You bless it. You can you can really
set
just
an intention. Bless your water. Whatever it is. What are you calling in today? You're drinking it in then all day. You know, and our bodies are made up of so much water. And then
wow.
I like to do my weights.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's important because it gets me in my body, like we were talking about. We
yes.
need to be in our bodies more.
Yep.
You know, you could be in your head at times, getting back into your body, like the
I
exercise.
I love working out. That's yeah. makes perfect. And it's and it really does feel like this the one the hour long wherever it is as I'm not in my head at all.
Yeah.
I think that is actually why I'm so addicted to working out, because it is like the one true time where I'm like, whew.
Yes. And you have to think about what you're doing with your body.
Yeah. I have to.
So I'm like, oh, I have to lunge. I have to lift my arm this way. So even if you're not like a super athletic, I have to work out all the time. If you're just hearing this and you're like, oh, I need to get in my body more, find like the morning walk.
Walking.
Where you just think about, oh, how does the pavement feel under my feet? What does the wind or air feel like against my skin? Those things get you into your body so quickly. And then the last thing I probably try to do every day, like you said, this is like a rhythm. I'm going through these things all day. But when I lay down at night, I call all my energy back to myself. The good, the bad. Because we give our energy out all day. I call it all back to myself.
We need to talk about this.
Yes. So I can go into my dream state. And then when I wake up in the morning, I call my energy back from my dream state.
Okay. How do you call it back? What do you say?
Yes.
Is there a certain...
It's very simple. I have a recording on Insight Timer, totally free, that
oh,
anyone
do
could
you?
Listen to.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh. I'm definitely... Do I search your name?
Yes. It's just under Dr. Nicole Garitano.
Amazing.
So I have some different tracks there. So that can be really supportive for people. But really, once I walk you through it, anybody could do this before bed. But some people, based on their design, need to hear it, you know, and then once they get in a rhythm, they're like, okay, maybe I don't need to hear it anymore. But I think about this concept of energetic hygiene, probably because of my healthcare background, but you think about it, we take a shower, we brush our teeth, we do all these other hygienic things, but we don't really take care of our energy.
Right. What do we
do
with it?
Energetic hygiene all day. We're like right now, you and I are exchanging energy.
Yeah.
We're in conversation. It's good. We're loving it. It's great. Right.
Yeah.
And when I go to bed tonight, I'm going to call my energy back from you.
So does that mean I'm not going to have it anymore? Like, will I feel it lessen?
No, but you should call yours back from me, because you get to be your own cocoon of energy, like refreshing your own energy every night.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
This is just really creeping me out, Nicole. Mm-hmm. So I had an experience for the last month or so, maybe let's call it January, February, where my energy was many different places with many different people. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling so much like I'm too out everywhere. Like I don't have anything that's like, that it's just like me. Like I'm just too spread out. It's like really the most feeling. And I literally said to my friends, I said, I have to go into a cocoon for a month, because I just need to pull all my energy that was everywhere else. And I just need to put it back in. I just need to be by myself. I need to be lonely. I need to feel what that feels like. I need to just only be me. I don't want my phone off. Like just me.
Yes. Yes.
And it's so funny that you just said cocooning like that, because that is truly
how
I've been feeling. So maybe if I would have a more regular practice, I wouldn't be so spread out where I have to do this huge long month cocooning. I could just cocoon every night.
Exactly. Exactly. You would be able to
wow.
do that. And I just think of it
wow.
as like this oval shape, you
okay.
know, around my body.
Yes. Okay.
While I'm laying there. So it can, for a lot of people, it's very much like an egg shape.
Uh-huh.
Right. And we think about,
like a little pod.
Yeah, we all kind of started as an egg.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yes, we did. Yes.
We did. So imagining, and I just imagine like this golden light around me okay. and that cocoon. And then I start to think about all the places or people that I gave my energy to. So, I mean, my daughter's included in that. I love her and I call my energy back.
Anyone you've had an energy exchange with, yes. virtual or in person.
Yes. I call it back because I want to cleanse it so I can refresh it so it's good and ready for the next day.
Charged.
So I can give it back to everybody that I gave it to, that I need to give it to again. I also call it back from any shows I've watched before bed, anything I've books. Read, books, yeah. and even when it's like positive content.
No, right. And everything. It's this is a neutral. Yes. If I put it out there, I'm now, it's like telling the kids to come home. It's dark out.
Yes.
It's time to come yes. home.
Maybe certain foods I ate. You know, if we've been out with family or at a party and I've had wine, I'm like, oh, I just want to call my energy back from that wine because I want to feel good tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Okay. Loving right? this.
That's an energetic exchange. Oh, what we
absolutely
consume.
It is. Yeah. Yes.
I want to call my energy back from that. So it can be for all the things, whatever's entering your mind. It doesn't have yeah. to be exhaustive.
Right.
Typically, we are very intuitive beings. As we're laying there drifting off, it's going to come to mind.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to call it back from this.
Yeah.
And then once I call it back, I just imagine that golden light around me, like starting to re-energize it. Okay. And then eventually I drift off. Well, then when I wake up in the morning, I literally lay there after my alarm goes off uh-huh. in my little cocoon.
Yes.
I imagine the oval energy around me again, and then I call it back from my dream state.
Oh. Do you do this even if you don't remember your dreams? Okay, so it's not, yeah, it doesn't.
Just from sleep state, just dream state. Like, okay, I'm waking up for the day. I want to call my energy back, you know, from all the events that went on overnight, whether I remember them or not.
Truly, who knows you what know? We're doing, yeah.
Maybe I was tossing and turning. Who knows oh, where yeah. we went in our dreams.
Yeah.
But then I call it all back, and then I seal it in for the day.
Wow. I love that. That's amazing. I'm definitely going to put that into practice. I can't wait to do it. Nicole, what does being fit mean to you?
Well, being fit to me really means the name of my business is Balanced Being. So
Balanced Being, we should call that out.
Yes. So for me, it really is about having achieved my unique healthy balance for me. And that yeah. shifts
yeah.
day to day.
Right.
So honoring those shifts, you yeah. know, is very, very important. Knowing like what you were speaking to, some days I need to be around people more. Some days I need more internal time. So mm-hmm. it isn't that balance means homeostasis, right? Balance for me means I move with my energy where it needs to go and I honor that energy even when it may upset someone else, even when it may produce some level of guilt, like within me. I honor my no as much as I honor my yes.
And is the assumption there too, at least what I believe and think, is that those energy fluctuations or those like energy movements, like they're there to serve a higher purpose that's coming from God, source, universe, whatever. So like flowing with those things are really just like flowing with just like the life we've been given kind yes. of thing, like love, whatever mm-hmm. it is, right? Like what?
Yes. That's I what think of it as co-creation.
Yeah.
So if I honor my unique balance and mm-hmm. flow every day, I'm continuing that connection. I'm surrendering to that connection of co-creation.
Yeah, surrendering.
And saying I'm available.
Yeah. True. Like, you know more than me.
Yes. That's not that it's easy.
No.
Right? There's days it's definitely off. But I always come back to it as, like, a guiding factor that I think about. Like, guiding factor, okay.
Yeah.
How could I have maybe been in better aligned balance for myself today? Where did I notice I was out of balance? Did I rebound from that? Mm. Maybe I corrected it. Then I celebrate that when I notice it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I could have done better. You know, maybe I'm like, oh, I nailed it. Like this one part of the day, I was
amazing.
Really, you know, in balance and yeah. in flow. And all these great things happened.
Yeah.
You know, notice because of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's great. I love that answer. Okay. Where can people find you? Where can people yes. book with you, figure out, you know, learn more about your services. Yes.
So
all that.
If you go to Instagram, uh-huh. I'm at Dr. Nicole Garitano.
Yep.
There is the link in my Instagram, which links you out to my offers and all the other ways you can connect yep. with me. And then I do have a special code that I will share
amazing.
With you for the show notes where wow, people will be yep. able to get 50% off a human design session.
Wow. Thank yes. you. That is so great.
You're
That's so
welcome.
Fun. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Everyone listening, thank you so much. And good luck figuring out your human design.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you're following me on Instagram at Chrissy Girlie, KRISSYGIRLIE, and at What The Fit Podcast. If you're loving What The Fit, please help spread the word. Send it to a friend, share it to your story. And if you are looking for even more exclusive content, become a Patreon member. You can find it at patreon.com/whatthefitpodcast. Love ya.